When Nat Turner and a band of rebel slaves rose up in 1831, killing almost 60 of the slave-owning aristocracy, the legal proceedings that followed focused on determining what the slaves' motives were. In fact, court officials went to great lengths to interview all of the condemned rebels in order to ask why they rose up and why they resorted to violence. You see, they were so deluded by their own mythology that slaves were perfectly happy in chains and servitude that they could not conceive of slaves who desired something more. So distorted by the slavery program, apologists for the status quo could not imagine slaves unsatisfied with slavery. Really. Theories abounded that there were white accomplices who put the slaves up to it, or that Nat Turner was a fanatical wacko, the equivalent of the modern-day cult leader, bamboozling his fellow slaves into drinking the proverbial Kool-Aid. One theory held that Nat Turner and his fellow rebels' real motive was to rob the victims of money, and that the wholesale slaughter, to include leaving a headless infant in a fireplace, was just incidental to their looting. So confused and baffled were they that they dispatched one man, a lawyer, to meet with Nat Turner himself and get the story straight from him. They needed to hear Turner explain his desire for freedom and his absolute revulsion for the crimes of slavery before they could believe it. Then they hung him and dismembered him and sent his skull as a trophy to an Ohio university. That'll teach him for telling the truth. Since that time, right up until the modern day, those who oppose slavery and seek to hold up Nat Turner and his fellow rebels as role models often try to gloss over the savage butchery that Turner and others committed. They have a really hard time with the violence. They take the position that slavery was evil, and they think Nat Turner is a hero, but they mitigate their endorsement of him by pointing out that the violence was way too much. Now, I purposely described in great detail in the last segment how slave rebels hacked people to death with hatchets and axes and farm tools, men, women, children, the elderly. The violence they unleashed was ruthless and brutal and perfectly justified. I would suggest to you that every ounce of blood shed during that slave rebellion falls squarely on the hands of every single slave owner, every single slave trader, and every single American who benefited in a material way from slavery, both in 1831 and in 2016. I would suggest to you that the decapitation of the infant Joseph Travis was perfectly justified, given that the infant was the inheritor of the plantation and all the slaves on it. Nat Turner and others were not free until baby Joseph Travis's tiny body landed in that fireplace. That's the reality cooked up by the slave owners, not the slaves. So if they didn't want their infants beheaded, they should have thought of that before undertaking to own other human beings. They should have thought of that before passing down humans as property to their children. What I'm suggesting is that there is a kind of math to oppression and to counter-violence. We can properly judge the depth and breadth of the atrocities committed by oppressors when we take the full measure of the counter-violence that's unleashed in the eventual response. When you find bodies of headless babies in your fireplace, you've done a bad, bad thing, and you've done it for a long, long time. The simple fact of the matter is, liberation cannot occur without violence. And the more entrenched a system is, the more ruthless it is, the more intense the counter-violence must be in order to achieve liberation. Plain and simple. In 1831, Nat Turner and his companions sought liberation of an entire slave class from the tyranny of a slave-owning class that had butchered babies for centuries. You don't achieve that liberation from that kind of tyranny through marches or petitions or votes for lefty liberals. For Nat Turner and the slaves of 1831, just as for us, the slaves of 2016, liberation comes from the blade of a hatchet. Those who mitigate their endorsement of the courageous rebels who struggled alongside Nat Turner and the carnage they left in their wake still don't get it. If you're a slave, there's only one way to get free. For the slave, freedom springs forth only from the corpse of the slave master. The sooner and more swiftly undertaken, the better. This is anarchist prisoner Sean Swain from Warren Correctional in Lebanon, Ohio. If you're a fellow slave, you are the resistance.
You can write to Sean Swain at Sean Swain, 243-205, Warren, CI, P.O. Box 120, 5787 State Route 63, Lebanon, Ohio, 45036. For updates on his situation, his bid for U.S. president in 2016, and more writings by Sean can be found at seanswain.org.